I call the meeting to order and then ask somebody to play the pledge? Say the pledge, not play it. Good to go. All right. I call this meeting to order of the Genoa Township Trustees on April 2nd, 2020 at 6:31 p.m. This meeting of the Genoa Township Trustees will be audio recorded and live streamed on Facebook. The meeting audio, video, and written minutes are available on Genoa Township's website at www.genoatownship.com or by contacting the Genoa Township Fiscal Office. At this time, I'd ask Pat Myers to lead the pledge.
Yep.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
At this time, we have the swearing in of two firefighters, so I'll ask Pat Meyer. And you want to do both?
Well, I'll request a motion first. I'd recommend a motion to hire full-time firefighter paramedic Aaron Upchurch, effective April 22nd of 2020. Aaron is currently a firefighter with Jerome Township Fire Department, and Aaron has filled all the requirements of the Genoa Township Fire Department.
Do I have to make a motion?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
I'd like to make there's a resolution to hire a full-time firefighter paramedic, Aaron Upchurch. So I move to hire Aaron Upchurch to the position of full-time firefighter paramedic with the Genoa Township Fire Department, effective April 22nd, 2020. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn.
Yes.
I would like to recommend a motion to hire full-time firefighter paramedic Brian Porter, effective April 20th of 2020. Brian currently works as a firefighter with Tri-Township, and he is also a paramedic with Delaware County EMS. Brian also has filled all the requirements to become a Genoa Township firefighter.
Perfect. We have a resolution to hire full-time firefighter paramedic Brian Porter. I move to hire Brian Porter to the position of full-time firefighter paramedic with the Genoa Township Fire Department, effective April 20th, 2020. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Constitution and laws of the state of Ohio.
The Constitution.
Yes, welcome aboard.
Thank
you.
Thanks,
Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Be safe.
All right, next we have the fiscal officer's report.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. First, just a couple things. First, I'd like to ask approval of the following minutes. March 5th, 2020 regular trustee meeting and the March 10th, 2020 special trustee meeting.
Okay, we have a resolution to approve the trustee meeting minutes. I move to approve the following meeting minutes: March 5th, 2020 regular trustee meeting, March 10th, 2020 special trustee meeting. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Thank you. Next, I'll have the financials for your review and signature at the end. Currently, balance $30,259,765.28. The way that breaks out is the pooled investments of $25,511,892.44. And the primary account of $4,747,723.32. And everything is reconciled for month ending February 29th. And I'll have those for your signature and review. Next, we were supposed to have a records retention meeting tonight, which is an annual meeting where I meet with me and Donna and one of the trustees and set the retention policies. We canceled that meeting just out of social distancing and trying not to gather. We're supposed to reschedule that. I propose that we motion to reschedule that for the first meeting in June to give ourselves plenty of leeway there, so maybe we don't have to cancel it again if we get lucky with all the social distancing that's going on. I think if we do it for the first month in May, we're right up against what Governor DeWine just said is our stop, so if everybody's okay with that, let's just do it the first week in June.
When is the first meeting in June?
June 6th. I know that. Yeah. It'll be at 6 p.m., 30 minutes prior to the trustee meeting is what we would do it. So is that okay with everybody?
So I'm just trying to figure out what date that is.
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear that.
Can't hear
date and time?
Connie, it'd be the first.
It's June 4th.
June 4th at 6 p.m. is what I'm recommending.
That's fine.
And it's just Connie, myself, and Donna.
Yeah,
it's just one trustee, so as long as she's good with it, which she is. So if I could get a motion to schedule that for 6/4/2020 at 6 p.m., that'd be great.
Yes. I move to schedule a records retention meeting for June 4th, 2020 at 6 p.m.
Second.
I hear a second? Thank you. You're a second.
Second.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
That's all I have.
All right, next on the agenda is trustee comments.
I'm not going to state the obvious, so I think everyone's doing a good job, as good as we can, and just continue to abide by what we're being asked to do by our governor and president.
Connie, do you have any comments?
I've got just a couple things. First of all, I want to remind our residents to fill out their census form. That's really important for us as we try to collect dollars from the federal government. Additionally, I want to thank all of our first responders. They've been doing a phenomenal job, all of our other administrative maintenance staff, and also those folks out in the working in hospitals, care fields, grocery stores. My hat's off to all of them, my thanks to them. And I want to thank Vice Chair Vaughn for filling in for me this evening so that I can stay home under quarantine. I appreciate it a great deal. Thank you. That's it.
Okay, and again, I just want to thank everyone in the township. I feel like we're all working together for the better good of the township. And we are all just maintaining, again, like Carl said, the rules of the state and the federal government. All right, next. Next, we have the Parks Advisory Committee park plan. Is anybody going to speak to that?
I think Connie might be going to speak to that.
You hear me, Connie?
I can hear you a little bit, Bob. Go ahead.
Do you want to
speak?
You want to speak about the Parks Advisory plan?
I'll be happy to do that. First off, can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, good, because it's breaking up from you to me. Well, let me just say that with the Parks plan, the Parks Advisory Committee has been working on this for quite a while. And they have toured each and every park, done an assessment of the parks with what needs to be done as far as maintenance of the current situation. We've looked at the surveys that have been done, what residents would like. And so all of that was taken into account. And with that, we came up with the Parks Master Plan 2020 draft that you have seen. First off, I want to thank the Parks Committee. They did a phenomenal job. And especially thanks to the subcommittee that worked closely on this. Brian Wellman, one of the members, did a lot of these statistics, and Molly McHale is the chair. She pulled together a great deal of information. And Leslie Strader should be commended for pulling all of this together into the format that it's in. I looked at it the first day, and when it was very professionally done, and I'd like everybody to know that this was done in-house. No additional funding was necessary for this. So I think as people look at this, they will be impressed. What we wanted to look at with this is where are our parks now and where would we like them to be given the feedback that we have gotten from various surveys, comments, et cetera. So we tried to look at this realistically. Everybody would love to have a community center and a pool and all those kinds of things. That's not within our budget. And, there's a lot of factors that go into that. But what we did look at were things that we can do. So we talked about things like doing a nature park where, for example, one of our parks would have more natural felled trees, rocks, things like that in the park. Another might be an educational park where there's story trails and themes of books. We talked about a water feature, possibly, because that's something that has come up quite often. And then we also talked about, at our community gardens, adding features there. For instance, beehives, because we would like to help propagate bees. We talked about bat houses, perhaps putting in an orchard and making it kind of children could learn about our environment and where food comes from. So that is what we were looking at. We really wanted to try to stay with the rural character of Genoa Township as much as possible. And so we, didn't want to put in big things that looked kind of citified, if you'll allow me to use that phrase. We wanted to stay within our heritage. And that's what we tried to do with this plan. But this plan is only as good as what we can do with it. Otherwise, it'll be a 2020 plan that gets put on a shelf, much like the prior plans that we had. We used to be able to do some things because we had a little money in the general fund that came from estate taxes and so forth. The estate taxes are no more, and what we do in our parks now has literally been because of what we can squeeze out of the general fund. Those funds are extremely limited. So without a dedicated funding source, this parks plan is likely, like the prior ones, to end up on a shelf. But that's the basis of what we did with this. That's the reasoning behind it. It was to address comments and needs. And so with that, I'm going to stop talking for a minute, other than to say that there is a draft on the web, and residents will be able to look at this and send comments back to us by May 1st. So with that, I'll open it up for comments and thoughts and questions.
Carl, do you have any comments?
Yes, I was very impressed with the plan, Connie, and I did talk with Molly McHale a little bit about it, and I mean, to have it all done in-house is really very good. I mean, I think part of doing it in-house is there was a lot of extraneous information that sometimes is put into reports that really isn't relative or relevant to what we want to do, and this was very down to earth, very practical, and I think they looked at where we are today on a park-by-park basis, as well as on a township basis and even on a regional basis. And I appreciate the fact that you referenced and included in this plan the fact that, you know, the city of Columbus, I mean, whether it's Hoover Reservoir or Mudhen Marsh, I mean, those are all attributes in the township that we probably need to do a better job of coordinating with the city of Columbus and preservation parks on some of these, as well as the city of Westerville. So I appreciated the fact that they looked at it on a park-by-park basis, but then went out even beyond the boundaries of Genoa Township for opportunities. I also like the fact that the surveys that we have done in the past, I think, you know, the top three items that usually show up there of attributes in the township that people like are police, fire, and parks. Not necessarily in that order, but, you know, parks is always at the top of the list as far as what people like. And when I say parks, I'm also throwing in trails. And I would say that would be one thing that I would maybe recommend we adjust with this plan is reference the trails. I mean, during the past several weeks, it's very obvious that people love our trails and are using our trails. And so I think we need to also include right at the beginning that this is a parks and trails plan. The issue of funding, Connie, I totally agree with you and what the committee has said that, you know, without some source of funding, nothing much is going to happen. Not that we aren't going to get anything done, but we sure could get a lot more done if we had some additional funding, a funding mechanism for the parks. Plus, it also ties in back when we did have the estate tax that generated $300,000 to $500,000 a year sometimes that went into the general fund. A lot of that money was used for parks, but it was also used as a match. So we were able to apply for grants. And oftentimes a grant would require maybe a 25% match. But if you had more than a 50%, it really bumps you up on the selection priority list. So we were able to go in with these funds, the township funds, and provide maybe up to a 50% match, which got us maybe $2 for every dollar we were willing to put in. We've lost that capability to a large extent because we just don't have those funds. So in closing, I think it's a great start. I was very, very pleased with the approach that was used, with the recommendations. They were very practical, and I'm looking forward to fine-tuning it to come up with a finalized plan.
All right. I thought the same. I read through the plan. First of all, the design is great. It's aesthetically pleasing. The Parks Committee definitely did their homework comparing Genoa Township to five other townships, and the amenities and facilities that they offered. I agree with the grants. I know that part of getting grants in addition to funding is that you have to have a master plan. So I'm glad to see this come to fruition, and I agree that not a whole lot of the additions will not happen with additional funding. Anything else?
Comment.
Go ahead.
I thought this was well written. Mm-hmm. This looks twice as good as the last parks plan we had, and our last one was over 10 years ago. And you know, they put a lot of time and effort. Molly McHale, Connie Goodman, Leslie Strader, and her committee. This thing, it looks great. There's a lot of good facts in this. They've used a lot of surveys of the township to comprise their information and see what the needs were of the township and what we could police in here that we can afford also. So, I mean, it's a very nice plan, and luckily it didn't cost a dime to the township to prepare, and I'm proud of that.
Basically, if you have questions about this, if Molly McHale would be the person to ask, she has been on the Parks Committee for a number of years and has a strong history about what the Parks Committee has done. She's volunteered to be the person that will answer questions. And again, they're... it will be on the website for public comment, so folks can comment by sending email, phoning, whatever.
Okay. So Connie, I don't know if you can hear us or not, but so the plan. Okay, so the plan is for public comment by May 1st, as well as I'm assuming comments from trustees and whomever. Then
trustees, we'd like sooner.
Yeah. So then are we anticipating probably a final approval? Does this go back to the advisory committee? They put in practice, or, you know, evaluate the comments, do a final draft, submit that maybe in June, July? Is that what we're looking for, target date?
I would hope by June.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, with the stay-at-home orders and no meetings, the Parks Committee has been unable to meet.
Right.
And so that's been a little bit more difficult to work over email to get comments back. But we're doing our best with that, and that is what will happen with any comments received from the Parks Committee, from the public, and also from the trustees, staff, et cetera. We'll put those together, and I would hope that by June we could have a final draft ready for the trustees for their review and approval.
That's great.
Great, Connie. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks to the group, Molly and Leslie and Brian and the other folks.
All right, next on the agenda we need to establish capital projects funds. So I make a motion to, there is a resolution to establish the Roads and Bridges Capital Projects Fund. I make a motion to establish the Road and Bridges Capital Projects Funds as presented.
Second.
Thank you.
Someone want to talk about this?
Yes, Board. Basically, as part of a promise that when the public passed the road levy last fall, one of the items of that was creating a capital fund on the Road and Bridge Fund, so that we had some funds available to earmark for capital projects such as equipment and vehicles. And the committee, they recommended $100,000 a year be placed into the capital projects fund for the road and bridge fund for Bob to use for the road projects, et cetera. Right now we have no buffer. Now that the levy passed, we have the ability to put $100,000 in this fund and possibly save up. And when, like as what the police and fire do, we'll have the ability when time comes to replace a vehicle to pay cash for it instead of leasing or financing.
Very good.
Now what?
Anything else?
Do you have a comment?
I'm fine. I'm ready.
Connie, do you have a comment?
I'm fine.
Okay. Do I make another motion? What do I do?
No.
I
just roll call. Got a roll call.
Okay.
Yeah. Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Next, we have the ODOT SALT resolution. There's a resolution authorizing the participation in the ODOT road SALT contracts awarded in 2020. I make a motion to authorize participation in the ODOT road SALT contracts awarded in 2020. Is there a second?
Second.
I was supposed to say as presented. I'm gonna amend that.
I'll second that.
This is a resolution the state wants the township to submit to guarantee we're buying the salt. I put down 600 tons is what we're going to buy because we didn't use hardly any this year. So we got four bins completely full. So we only need to order 600 tons if the bids are good.
What do we normally order? I mean, 600 tons still sounds like a lot of salt, but compared to...
We usually use, on a normal winter, we probably use 1,800 to 2,400 tons a year. We use about, I'd say, 400 tons this year.
And we're still brining, correct?
Yes, we're still priming.
Yep. All right. Sounds good.
All right. Anybody discussion? Nope.
Okay. Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
And the last thing that I have is we're going to have to cancel spring cleanup for April 23rd because I cannot get the dumpsters because of the virus. They're not working, so we won't have a spring cleanup this year.
Just a reminder to all the residents, we do have a contract with Rumpke that allows for unlimited curbside trash and recycling. So if you have brush at home, you're clearing your yard, make sure you bundle it in 4-foot sections. And this will be, utilize the Rumpke contract, pace it every week, put it a little bit out every week, and that should handle anything we're canceling the spring cleanup that Bob has.
Bob, were there other things that were brought in, I mean, like tires and stuff like that, or was it mainly brush and
No, we took in brush, we took in metal. I had a metal dumpster. We took in wood. We took just about everything but paint, and we even took tires, but we had a hard time getting rid of tires, but right. We did. But anything like they wanted to bring in, they could bring in.
Well, why don't we, if we could have Leslie maybe put on the website just the Rumpke, the guidelines for
sure.
Refuse and what can and can't be put out. And to your point, you know, trying to bundle brush up and stuff like that.
Definitely. I'm speaking on behalf of Leslie, who's watching this simulcast.
Right.
Leslie, if you hear us, please, could you... take care of what the board's asking for as a on our Facebook page and other media sources. Thank you.
Type yes in the comments.
Bob, do you have any resources for our residents who have metal, wood, or tires they want to get rid of? Is there a place that they could go?
Yes. If you call my office, my secretary has the names and when they're having events that they can take them items to.
That would be great.
And that phone number is 614-568-2080.
Okay. I'm sure Chrissy's going to appreciate that.
Leslie did answer yes on the Facebook
page
perfect. Just now, so she got your message.
Great.
Perfect.
We have a pretty good crew of trash pickers that travel the neighborhoods, too. Mm-hmm. So I think they're always looking for scrap metal and and things along that line. So.
Yep. All right, next. Anything else, Bob?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next is administration. No old business, but we're going to new business.
New business. I just like to update the board and the township on some coronavirus things that we're doing in-house, just so the public knows what's happening here at the township level. First off, I want to reassure the township trustees and residents that you've got the most dedicated and caring group of employees, and the police and the fire, they're bending over backwards to help people in need. I know they've run on a lot of residents who have had some illnesses lately, and it's scary when families are in need like that, but we just to reassure everybody, we have well-trained, well-equipped staff that's ready to come into action. I personally am on the job daily, and I monitor a lot of the residents' calls. They're filtered through my office since we're on a limited staff, handling a lot of emails, phone calls, And also keeping up with our local government and collaborating with other public agencies and entities, some of our neighbors, and also the Ohio Township Association. I've been lucky enough to serve another term as an executive member of the Coalition of Large Ohio Townships. And whenever there's legislation being sponsored to the Ohio House, we are we're part of the process to make our township needs be known to the Ohio House and Senate. Secondly, the township's complying with all of the Ohio Health Director's stay-at-home order. In the administration office, we're working with minimum staff. The directors of HR, zoning, communications, and periodically the fiscal officer have the ability, and they're working remotely. They also come in to pick up their mail, et cetera, if need be, but it's usually a quick trip. One person is working full-time in the zoning office, and they're alternating by weeks with one another. The staff there, it's the permits haven't slowed down in the zoning office. With the nice weather and everybody home, it seems like there's a lot of deck permits and patios and garages and everything else that the residents are still wanting to pursue. So the permits aren't slowing down, so we have someone on staff. The clerical staff, R1 in the office, is on paid administrative leave, and she's ready to be recalled on an as-needed basis if we need her skills. The basic functions of the township, such as payroll and vendor checks and payments, are still being completed as normal. We do have Linda monitors her the payroll and the HR functions daily, along with Donna Batten. They're doing a great job. The township building itself is locked. We put a drop box out front. It was placed out front, and it's a red box that has a lock on it. So if a resident wants to drop off a building or zoning permit, you can do that in that metal box, and it's checked at least once a day. The road maintenance department has been also working along with the buildings and grounds daily. We're abiding by the Ohio Department of Health stay-at-home order. Those departments are both listed as essential to the government operations. We've assigned each employee in those departments their own vehicle to drive to the job site on their own to comply with the social distancing recommendations. We've staggered lunch breaks and have added extra seating and tables for the workers in the maintenance garage, and staggering their breaks so that we're limiting contact. The workers on the job are to comply with the social distancing recommendations of over 6 feet. They're doing that the best that they can, and along with keeping up on all the other safety requirements needed for working in the road right away. All the township offices are being cleaned by our own staff daily. Doorknobs, sinks, restrooms are being disinfected. And they're doing a good job. They're spraying down surfaces with our Lysol. You can see the jar on Trusty Goodman's table tonight. The park's playground equipment, basketball courts, and restrooms are posted closed. This is an order by the governor, and we're abiding by those orders. In fact, some of the porta-johns, I understand, are going to be removed to further comply with a lot of the recommendations by the Ohio Department of Health. So Bob Matthews and his crew will be recalling those porta-johns off from the sites probably in the next day or so. All park rentals have been canceled and refunds have been sent through the end of May so that people can get their funds back and use those. Police and fire have adjusted their schedules and their procedures to better provide service to the public. I know the police department went on a 4 10-hour-a-day shift, 4 10-hour days, to avoid contact and be at home 3 days at least with your family and keep distance from the public. So we're doing little things like that to adjust our schedules internally. If any township employee feels ill, or is observed to be ill when they come, or runs a temperature, they're being sent home and ordered to stay home until they can seek some medical attention. We'll continue to do our jobs and comply with the mandates that you, as our township leaders in the state and federal government, order. So that's my report to you.
Thank you. In addition, people can still call the township office if they have an issue, a question, and email.
Yes, email is definitely easier.
Yeah.
I have to be physically on site to pick up the phone messages, but okay. Emails can, if they're urgent in nature, they can be handled off-site.
Okay. Just wondering if, Gary, you have anything to add as far as the fire department and EMS folks?
Sure. Yeah, as Paul stated, we've had a lot of decontamination measures for our medical equipment, the station, and the apparatus. We have a quarantine protocol in place should one of our members become exposed. And we have a plan with our county mutual aid partners to where we've already seen an uptick in regards to the COVID-19, so it is ramping up. And with that, like I said, we have a plan with our mutual aid partners to where the county will be split into four quadrants. And we haven't put this plan in place, but we're ready for it. So if our members get exposed and we have to quarantine them and we don't have enough people, we'll end up going into two shifts of 48 hours on, 48 hours off. We're hoping we don't get to that, but that's our personal plan. But the other part of that plan is we divide up into quadrants, us, Harlem, Berkshire, Sunbury, Trenton, and Galena. I don't know if I said Berlin, but all of us are in one quadrant, and we'll put a medic into place that will run on nothing other than the COVID-19 incidents. We're not quite there yet. The uptick isn't to that point yet. We are having a tough time getting PPE, personal protection equipment. I think everybody, after listening to the governor and such, they know what PPE is
right
now.
Yeah.
I do have to say we've had a couple of generous donations from residents.
Very nice.
For things that we truly need. It's real tough to get the things that we need. This is equipment that prior to this, and I'm going to use like the N95 mask you hear about so much. Okay, we didn't use 24 of these in a year's time before. And now we're using multiple masks a day. So these things, what you hear the governor and Dr. Acton talking about, how hard these things are to get, it's the truth. And so we got a couple generous donations, and that's going to help us out, but we're still trying to procure more, you know, protective equipment. So
Gary, are we, you say trying to procure more equipment, are we doing that ourselves? Is there a coordinated effort at the county level? Because I keep hearing, or I hear occasionally that, you know, one entity is competing against another entity, and
on the county level, this is a collaborated effort. We're all in this together. When you know somebody finds something, we're doing things like sharing. Like you've heard of the Patel
right.
Cleaning up the N95 mask. We're jumping on with the county, and so are a lot of other townships. That's going to be a really good thing. But the bad part about that is it's probably going to be 2 to 3 week turnaround time.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, we have limited masks now. By the time you put them in, get them turned around, we're already in dire needs. So those things are helping. But we've got face shields that through one of the county efforts, we now have face shields for our people. The Amish are making some gowns for us that are cleanable. Now, they don't cover the way our normal PPE does, but they're better than nothing. So there's some interesting things coming up, a lot of people trying to do some good things, and we appreciate every and all efforts people are making. But it's a difficult time right now. We aren't even, we're just at the beginning of this, to be honest with you.
Well, I had a conversation with our state rep, Carfagna, and because, sometimes you hear what's going on at the state level, and it's a different world at the local level. And I know with the governor having come from local government, as a county prosecutor, is very aware of that and concerned. But, Rick is very open to, if there are specific needs that we're seeing at the local level, even if it's countywide or wherever, he wants to be aware of it, made aware of it, so he can continue to work with the governor's office or whoever he needs to. So I just ask that I pass that on.
Well, I appreciate that, because at the local level, the hardest thing is because we don't have that economies of scale.
Exactly.
Because we are small. Some of those things can be pretty difficult, especially when you're trying to, we placed an order for some masks the other day. We thought the order was good to go and everything, and we found out today that wasn't a big enough order, so you get dumped out the other end. And those are the things that are difficult. And the one thing I would like to do is encourage everybody that if you do feel you're sick, if you have a true emergency, absolutely call 911. We'll be there and take care of whatever that need is. But we truly want to encourage people that if you think you have COVID-19 or if you think you have the flu, your first call really should be to your primary health care provider. They can assess you. They are the ones that can order a COVID-19 test for you. We do not test. We cannot order any test. What we're trying to do is we're trying to keep from going into people's houses and infecting them, because we're running on all these people, okay? At the same token, we're trying for these people not to infect us. So if you call 911, expect to have multiple additional questions than what you would normally have. And we're asking people to either meet us at the door or in the garage if it's inclement weather, so we can assess how much of that personal protective equipment that we need to put on prior to entering the home.
Great.
So, but that first call should be to your primary care health provider if you feel it's either the flu or COVID-19. However, if you have a true emergency, dial 911 and we will be there.
All right.
Sounds good. Have you made available your wish list to the residents to get possibly more?
No, it's everything you're hearing on TV, though.
Okay.
N95 masks. Gloves, we use Tyvek suits also,
okay.
But not a lot of people have Tyvek suits laying around,
okay.
Unless you're a painter.
All right, thank you.
Yes.
All right, next on your agenda, Paul, is the credit card policy.
Yes, next up, last fall, or maybe it was last summer even, the township increased the spending limit of the directors to $10,000. Where it didn't have to come before a board meeting. So we've had the ability to write purchase orders and things up to $10,000. But one area where we've been lacking is the ability in between meetings to, in case there's an emergency or in case Gary or some of the fire, the police department needs to make an emergency purchase, the current spending limit on our credit cards is only $2,500 per card. And so we're requesting that the township increase the spending limit per the policy to $5,000 per credit limit. Our chief had asked for the ability to go to $10,000. I've asked the bank, First Commonwealth, if they would be willing to do $10,000. I haven't heard back. If we have that ability, I wish that if the board chooses to amend the credit card policy to make it a open-ended motion to say to accept a credit limit of $10,000 or whatever the policy of our credit card bank would be, it's something to that effect might work. Because right now, I know we can do a $5,000 credit limit per cardholder, but I can't speak for the bank if they can do a $10,000 or not.
If I may inject too, just like with the times we're going through right now, I was trying to order some equipment the other day. Can't do it because with the limits, like right now I have an order of about $3,500 and they want it placed right now, they want payment right now. Okay, I can't do it. First of all, the credit card limit isn't high enough. But even if it was at $5,000, I need, and this is PPE equipment for this COVID-19, even if it was at $5,000, we never know when that credit card is cleared out. You know, when the payment's made and then you start again, it's fluid. And so even if it was at $5,000, I try to use that card, and then it gets denied. And then they start asking all kinds of questions. We run $5 and $6 million budgets. As department heads, I feel that $10,000 should be, you know, doable. We've been had this credit card policy as long as I've been here. I don't think we've ever had any department head use it in an improper manner. So I would really encourage for you to approve the $10,000, especially when we're in emergency conditions as we are right now.
Your recommendation is $10,000 or?
$10,000 if the the financial institution
approves
that.
Okay.
And frankly, if the bank can't do it, we need to talk to another bank.
Right. With the kind of budget that we have?
Yeah, if you set it at $10,000, then if that bank doesn't do it, then we can shop for a new credit card company.
Well, and just like I've been using my own credit card, my personal credit card, to purchase things because we can't get what we need sometimes.
So what would be the internal process on that, Gary? So let's say you have $7,500 item. Do you just go out and buy it? Do you check with Paul? Is there, how does the internal workings of that?
Well, if it's something of that, if like $7,500, yes, I let Paul, hey, Paul, here's what we're looking at, here's what it costs. Here's, you know, we generally try to get, depending on what it is, try to get the three prices on it, and we let him know that that's what we're doing. But just like I said, right now I've got an order for N95 mask that I'm trying to purchase, and it's $3,500. I've got no way to buy it.
So how do we handle that through purchase orders, just in time?
Then and now.
Then and now.
But I still don't have anything.
No, I'm not saying. I'm saying.
So we have more than more of a.
We do then do.
Yeah, we have more of a paper trail than just the credit card receipt.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm looking.
There's
for.
There's still a PO cut for that transaction.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. What's your dollar amount that you say, hey, Paul, what is your...
$2,500.
Then you say, hey, Paul, I'm going to buy this or whatever for approval?
I basically say that.
Okay.
And you said we did approve expenditures up to $10,000.
Yes.
Without having...
Yeah, purchase orders and other purchase on credit is up to $10,000.
Right.
But not credit cards, according to our policy.
Yes.
Connie, do you have any questions or comments?
I just want to make sure that I understand this. We are currently at $5,000, and we want to increase it by $5,000 to make it a total of 10.
No, Connie, we're currently at $2,500, and we want to take it to 10.
Up to.
Okay.
Up to 10,000.
Up to 10.
Except mine.
Bob is the only exception because
I have $5,000 on mine.
He was buying equipment for roads off of his.
Okay, that helps. Thank you.
Okay. So, Gary, the other issue is you go to buy something and the credit card is maxed out, basically.
Yes.
What you're saying. So, but the credit cards are paid off every month. Okay.
The problem is there's a lag between the snail mail invoice and the time that that check physically gets delivered by me or Donna down to the bank.
Yeah. So we're not carrying some balance on our credit cards at 27%.
Understand, it's been at that amount for over 15 years.
Yeah.
Before Amazon and internet purchasing and all that kind of stuff. And we now do a lot of purchasing over the internet. And $2,500 just, we use it for incidentals is what we use it for.
Anyone else? Make a resolution.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's a resolution to amend the Genoa Township credit card account policy as required by the auditor of the state of Ohio. So I move to amend the Genoa Township credit card account policy as required by the auditor of the state of Ohio, Article 1, Section 2, authorized users increasing each department's credit limit up to $10,000. Is there a second?
Second.
And nobody else has any other discussion?
Okay. Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
All right, thank you. Delaware County Land Bank representation.
Yes, trustees, the township was contacted recently by Mike Ringel, the county treasurer. When Mr. Lee Bodnar, used to be the former administrator over in Orange Township. When he left the township recently, he was the local township representative on the county land bank. And so with his departure, it's leaving a vacancy now on the township representation end. And so I know that Liberty Township and Orange Township have both promoted the Liberty Township Administrator, Mike Schuling, to be the representative for them, but Genoa hasn't made any action on this. So that's where we are this evening.
What do we need to do with this? Do we need to make a motion?
It would be nice to have a motion for somebody at least, or I guess it wouldn't require... Since two of the three of us have already
voted. I was going
to say, it's
kind of a point, isn't it?
I think so.
Point?
Do you want to just say, then we'll just not vote on this, or what's your no vote?
I just had a little bit of concern, and I mean nothing significant. Mr. Schuler hasn't been with the township all that long. I do know that there are two county commissioners. I mean, this is a county program. There's a kind of commissioners that are on the land bank. I'm not sure what the relationship is between Mr. Schuler and those county commissioners that removed him from office. But on the other hand, I don't really think the land bank has that much going on in Genoa Township either.
Correct.
If anything. It's mainly industrial or abandoned properties that need to be cleaned up and something done with. So I really don't have any strong feelings one way or the other on what we do, if anything.
I don't feel heavily one way or the other either. So, Connie, okay. Do you have a comment on that?
I kind of agree with Carl. When this came up the last time, we deferred to Orange because if there was going to be any area that had issues with the land bank, it was likely not Genoa. So I'm fine with whatever.
Okay.
Very good.
I say we choose not to make a motion.
I'll notify our county treasurer of that fact.
Okay.
Great. Next up on my agenda is the to get a consensus type of feeling from the board. I've been discussing with Orange Township and Liberty Township the proposal from Rumpke. If you recall, we're under a three-year contract with Rumpke, where they pick up all three of our township's trash under one contract. The contract is up for renewal February 1st, 2021. So with that in mind, knowing that it takes, if the township was going to go out and solicit other companies, that it takes a long time to set up the bid package and then to advertise, and then if there is a new bidder or a new successful winner, then it takes a long time for that winning company to secure the equipment and all of the bins and everything needed to service over 26,000 households on the contract. So Rumpke came back, and after discussing with our county prosecutor, they said that in order to have, in our existing contract, there's a provision for a three-year renewal term. And so as part of that renewal, the prosecutor has offered his opinion that says if no other terms and conditions of the contract have changed except for, at the very most, a 10% increase on the contract, then you're allowed to offer a three-year, up to a three-year renewal. And so the other townships, knowing that where we are presently with Rumpke and what a 10% change would be to the rate, knowing that this rate would still be better than a lot of public entities in Central Ohio and clearly in our waste district, the Liberty and Orange Township is in favor of accepting the 10% increase through Rumpke and a three-year renewal. So you're the last board to meet on this, and so I just need to get some consensus from you on how to move ahead with legislation being prepared to solidify that contract with Rumpke.
Carl, Connie, do you have comments?
So basically, Paul, the terms of the contract are remaining the same other than a 10% increase, and that's over the three-year.
That's a one-time 10% increase for the next 3 years. Just so if it comes out, if we're paying around $16, it'd be $1.60
right.
A month. So,
but it's not 10% each year of
10%,
the 3 years. One-time 10%.
10%. So for 40 cents a week increase.
Yep. Okay.
Are you in favor of moving ahead then and having the legislation prepared for an official renewal then?
Don't know if any.
Connie, do you have any comments?
I'm fine with it.
Okay. I just want to thank Paul for his documentation he sent us. I like to have information in front of me to know what everybody else is paying. And from my calculation, Orange and Liberty and Genoa, we are the third lowest in the area. I think the only two paying less than us are Galena and Sunbury, but everybody else is paying more.
But we have the richest contract. They don't have quite the extensive
contract.
They don't? Contract.
Okay, because I couldn't see that.
Yes, our services are better than theirs.
Okay. So. My only question is, can we change the day? Because we have so many issues with them missing people, and then they have to wait till Monday to pick up garbage.
Is
that negotiable, or is that?
I don't know if that's negotiable,
okay.
Because that would be a substantial difference in the contract.
Okay.
I'd be afraid of him.
Yeah. Okay.
They would have to change a lot of other public entities.
Okay. Right. Okay.
So is the board in favor of me moving ahead with preparing legislation?
Yeah, I mean, this doesn't mean we're approving it. It would just mean giving you the go-ahead. We have until February 21.
I'll have Mark Fowler prepare the necessary resolutions to move ahead with the three townships signing the agreement for renewal. Thank you.
Okay.
Next up on the agenda is a donation. We received a $100 donation that came in to offset some of the cost of the Easter egg hunt. It was a $100 donation from Fairdean Commons, and I asked the board to accept this donation.
All right, we have a resolution to accept the donation. I move to graciously accept the donation of $100 from Fairdean Commons for the Easter egg hunt. Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Paul, now that we've accepted their money, what are we going to do with it since the Easter egg hunt has been at least postponed?
We've already bought the candy.
Lots of candy. Yeah.
We're sitting on hundreds of pounds of candy.
Yeah.
Looking for some thoughts from the board. If you say donate it we would donate it, whatever. I know that it was unloaded from the eggs 3 weeks ago and hasn't been touched by human hands since. So unless the fiscal officer, Pat Myers, has been slipping candy out of the bin.
I mean, it's all wrapped candy. I would suggest we maybe just hang on to it for a while, see what develops. I mean,
okay.
If nothing else, you know, maybe we'll do a
scavenger hunt in June.
Yeah, acorn hunt in October or something. I don't know. You know.
Free candy for movie nights.
Yeah, free candy for movie nights in October.
Go.
So let's just see how this plays out. But
sure.
Ferradine has been very supportive in the past, and we appreciate their support.
Thank you. That's all the administration.
I'm with you, Carl. I was going to suggest movie nights on this one.
Yeah.
For some of it, at least. There's more than enough.
Next, police levy.
Last meeting, Chief Gamble, who's once again watching this evening from the safety and security of his favorite couch, gave his interpretation on the necessity for the police levy, which you had, and asked for additional time to consider it. So, this evening, we're looking for some guidance on how to move forward.
We're going to be dealing with the fire levy as well, and you're going to be on the ballot at the same time. Vice Chair, would it be possible to have the discussion of both the police and fire at the same time?
Sure.
It's fine with me.
I mean, because I think they are interrelated to some extent.
Yes.
That's fine.
Paul, refresh my memory again, at least on our time process. I think the deadline for actually making a decision on the actual amount of money is August, if I'm not mistaken, or somewhere in that range.
The deadline to discuss this, the deadline to have it on up to the Board of Elections is the first week of August. I cannot for the life of me remember the date, but it's the first week of August. So if you move backwards from that point, you're going to need, some decision on the board, at least to know what you need in the resolution of necessity to then send to the county auditor. Once all three of you agree on what the levy language is and the resolution of necessity, once it's approved, it's sent to the county auditor, and they usually have a 15-day turnaround where they would give us the certificate of what the estimated resources would be that would be generated by the levy amount that you want to place.
People can't hear anymore. Say it's frozen.
You mean the live is?
Yeah.
Can we maybe refresh? Sign out, sign back in.
Let me know when you can.
Is it the audio or the video?
The audio.
It's the video.
Is it?
What is it at that?
Is it audio or video? Or
it's working now.
Yeah, it's
good.
Working now.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Benson.
All right, so I'm not sure when the audio cut out, but after the board agrees to a certain amount of the levy, then it would be followed up with legislation that you would need to vote on to then send the resolutions up to the Board of Elections for their certificate of what that levy will generate in the funds. And then at that point, the board will accept the amount of that and do the resolution to proceed. So I've been told by the auditor's office that they are working off still off the Board of Control and the auditor's office still working off of 15 days. So there's no delay after you pass the resolution of necessity. So working backwards. That would put us probably comfortable range in June at the very least, where you need to get going on this thing to make some decisions. So the sooner the better, acting with the current climate. It's up to you.
And the only reason I'm raising that is, and I think, I don't know if you sent the information to the other trustees.
I got it.
You got it.
Okay. Yes.
You know, I want to, I mean, we've been very fortunate historically in our township as far as our police and fire levies. Overwhelmingly pass, and we're grateful for that. You know, these are obviously uncertain times going forward. We don't know what our needs are going to be, but I know the chiefs have been very diligent, and when they put together a number, it's supported. And you know, we have a policy as a board to try to maintain at least a 50% carryover, so in the event that there is a problem with a levy or something else, we have money in reserves that we can fall back on. And that's a policy that I personally would still like to maintain. What I would like to look at, and that's why, Paul, I was asking about the timing of this, is we just had a discussion about our parks, and you know, in addition to police and fire and parks, those are three top priorities or attributes in the township that our people appreciate. We realize that we have trouble doing a lot of things with our parks program that we want to do. Personally, I am not in favor of additional increases in taxes. We did it for roads and bridges. We had to, because we probably didn't go as far as we needed to the last time we did it. I'm also conscious of the fact that in the past we have reduced levies, which have posed some problems even going forward, and it takes a while to come back to where we need to be. So with that being said, I've talked with the chiefs, both Chief Honeycutt and Chief Gamble, after they put together their numbers, and I think we do have some opportunities, at least within the police budget, and I'm hoping maybe not as much of an opportunity, but maybe there's a little bit in our fire budget that we could look at making an adjustment in those levies, and at the same time maybe go forward with a dedicated funding source for our parks with no increase in taxes. So it would basically be a wash. But I want to make sure that we're not funding a program that is important at the risk of two programs that are extremely important, being our police and fire. So I'm confident with our... I'm confident in a number that Chief Gamble had provided that would show that we potentially could have a slight reduction in the millage. I think Chief Honeycutt, you know, there's probably a little more uncertainty there. Maybe there's a little bit of wiggle room. I don't know if there's much or not. I don't want to commit to that. But I think we need to look at it. And I'm not talking, I'm talking more money than we have now for parks, but I'm not talking as much as we probably still would need. But it's going to do a couple things. One, it's going to take, it's going to provide a dedicated source of funding for our Parks and Trails program. And it's also going to take pressure off our general fund. And the general fund is used for, as it says, for our general operations, administration, et cetera, things along that line. But it's also used to fill in gaps if and when there's a money needed by roads and bridges, which we have done in the past, or in the event of police or fire or any of the other departments, we can pull from the general fund and put money towards those programs. Where with roads and bridges, police and fire, we can't pull money out of those programs and put it towards the general fund. So what things are set up as the way it should be set up. So I would suggest, or one of the thoughts I have, is if we could put together a program that would, the numbers that I was looking at, it would provide about a about $640,000 a year for our parks budget.
And that would result in a reduction of maybe 0.25 mils, a quarter of a mil. And in Genoa Township, 1 mil of valuation is worth $986,000. So if we could pull out a quarter of a mil out of police and fire, or fire, maybe up to 4 mils out of police, it's still going to make sure that we have the type of funding we need going forward at the end of the five-year cycle. But again, I'm not willing to pull that trigger at this point in time in the form of any kind of motion or anything. But if we're sincere about maintaining a dedicated funding for parks and trails, not at the expense of police and fire, then I think now is the time we have to do it. I'm concerned that when we start looking at the overall tax package in what Genoa Township residents are paying, it's getting up there. And I know we have a levy, I think, in Orontangi School District. We just had one in Westerville. I think Big Walnut's
on
the ballot.
But it's no increase.
Yeah, it's no increase. So, again, I want to take this as an opportunity, because we're not going to have it this same opportunity for five more years. If we want to talk about a separate individual tax levy for parks and trails as an additional, then that's another discussion we can have. But I see this as an opportunity where we can look at maybe achieving three objectives, and now's the time that we should at least look at it. So,
Connie, do you have any comments?
I do. I looked at this, and I agree that it's an opportunity to perhaps get a funding source for the parks. Chief Gamble and I talked, and he shared with me when we chatted, as well as at our last meeting, about how he had different scenarios and how those different scenarios played out. And as I looked at that, in his scenario of reducing his current 5.5 by 0.4 mil, he would still be able to maintain the operations of the department. And he had some money going forward that, depending upon what happened with the economy, et cetera, he had some flexibility left in his planning. So I was looking at that, of saving 0.4 mils for the police. I'm sorry, they had a 4.6 mil. I was reading the wrong line on my sheet. So that would take them down to a 4.2. When I looked at fire EMS, they didn't have quite as much flexibility, but I did look at how much money we're pulling in from the EMS soft billing, and that was equivalent to about 0.2 mil. And so I was looking at the combination there of a 0.6 mil and perhaps adding a parks levy of a half mil, which would be just short of $500,000 a year. Again, it's not going to be a lot, but it's an opportunity for us to start some of the things that we've wanted for a long time without depleting the general fund further. I am, however, very, very much aware that right now we are in a state of flux as a nation, and we've got a lot of people that are not working. Some of us are stuck at home, and we have to be very careful what we do. I'm cognizant of that. But those are the numbers and what I was looking at, hopefully, for us going forward. I think, again, police and fire, there's no question, they are essential. Parks are nice. We want to have good parks. Our people use those parks. But if we have to choose, then it has to go to safety services first, in my mind. Thank you for...
Thank you.
I'm done.
I concur. I talked to Molly on Monday, and it was kind of the elephant in the room. They talk about a funding source, but they don't say what it's going to be. And so I asked her, you know, she did talk about corporate sponsors, other communities that they compared Genoa Township with had corporate sponsors. I'm not sure we have any corporate sponsors besides Kroger or Home Depot in Genoa Township, and I'm not sure how much money we can get out of them. So In the end, it's up to the residents. If there is a parks levy on the ballot, it is up to them to approve it. So we are not making a decision tonight, so I would just ask residents to voice their concerns. The trustees, I want to hear from you. Is this something that you want to see? Is it not something you want to see? Because we still have time to noodle on this. But this, I think we all kind of know where we stand right now.
Yeah, and I would agree. I mean, again, my reason for bringing this up is we have the opportunity before us now. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean, you know, because it would still require we would have the police levy, the fire levy, and then we would have to have a parks levy.
Right.
So there's still no guarantee that that would even pass.
Right.
But we have that opportunity now. The other thing I would like to throw out there, and this is maybe where the public could be helpful as well, Chief Honeycutt has been a champion in trying to work with the county on the issue of the county EMS and the township EMS situation. And this is not a negative against the county, but are there mechanisms, funding mechanisms that would be available through the county back to the township? For instance, the EMS billing that Trustee Goodman referred to, we got about $280,000, I think, and we were able to buy an EMS by using that money, not touching taxpayer money. There's potentially up to $100,000+, $110,000that's collected approximately in 2019 from the county Medic 7 doing runs. If that money could be reallocated back to the township, that would be a big help. The township and the county both ran before the EMS billing came into place. They both ran on, the county runs on the sales tax, and so they were still able to function properly, provide us good service, have a mutual aid agreement, and they provide a good service to us. But I think there are other mechanisms out there that we ought to be looking at from a financial standpoint that could help take some of the tax burden off the township residents. And in no way am I proposing what was being proposed over in Liberty Township, where they wanted to do away with the township EMS and have the county do that. That is not what I'm proposing. What I'm saying is there are financial sides of this issue that need to be looked at to help take some of the burden off the township residents that I think could be worked out, not to the detriment of the county or to EMS service in Genoa Township.
Anyone else? Connie, do you have any other comments? Hearing none, we'll move on. I don't know if she heard me or not. Next, we have a police facility change order number 2 and 2020 permanent appropriation amendment. So there's a resolution to approve a change order number 2. I move to approve change order number 2 to Gutnick Construction in the amount of $12,795 for the Genoa Township Police Facility and authorize Township Administrator Paul Wise to sign the change order on behalf of the board. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Do we want to elaborate on these?
Yeah, I'll fly pretty high level.
That's fine.
Basically, there are five items on this change order. Four of them are adds to the change order, and the one is no cost, and one is a deduct. So, for a very high level, there's a gas meter and supply revision. It's a cost to run the gas line out to the facility and tie it into the into a box. Requires a state certified person to do that. That would pass all the regulations. That's an add of $21.46. There's a grill revision. It's an item that is part of the tornado structure of the facility. That's an add of $877. There's a circuit that's going to be in the workout room that's going to be added on. It's a heavy-duty circuit to add to facilitate the power demands in that one room. It's an add of $29.90. And also there's a last, it's a fire alarm drawing revisions. It's part of the facility itself. It's an add of $69.51. There's also a deduction on this change order for revisions to the hardware and door submittals of $169. So the total change order for this number two is $12,795.
Any discussion?
Paul, when do these come up? I mean, some of these I would have thought would have been maybe taken into account at the beginning, you know, like a dedicated circuit and
see some of the
along that line.
Some of the power demands weren't necessarily known when we were way back a year ago. Now, further on, we know how many of the units are going to be in that workout room and what the demand will be on that power. So it's going to require a little extra dedicated circuitry. So these are things that you're going to have this whenever you're fine-tuning a facility, knowing that where the specific needs are in each area of the building.
As things are progressing, and it looks like we're making great headway over there, I mean, I know that there for a while there were maybe every 2 weeks or weekly meetings going on with the construction team. How are those being done now, or are they being done now?
Most of the meeting are remote meetings. No one's doing a face-to-face anymore. Right. So everything is electronic. And so, yes, I am on site a couple times a week. I'm trying to keep the distance. I try to steer clear of all the workers, but I'm yet showing a presence of the township. Myself and also our architects on site a lot. So, yes, we are meeting, at least discussing things weekly electronically.
All right, so those are good. Okay, thanks.
Any other discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Next, we have a resolution to amend the permanent appropriations. I move to amend the 2020 permanent appropriations for the police station capital funds or capital projects fund. Improvements of site in the amount of $33,000 for change order number two and miscellaneous site preparations.
Second.
Discussion?
Basically, this handles this last change order and any other of the purchase orders that have been needed on site. For example, one of the Bob had to add a stone base to the back side of the structure where the sally ports are located. The area was soft. He needed to firm it up with stone. We needed to buy all the equipment and rent some equipment to move some of the dirt out of that area. So it's added little added expenses needed to build a multi-million dollar site and having the appropriations available to make those changes.
The work, Bob, that you do you bill so that your department gets paid?
Yes. Okay. Whenever we work over there, we put it in payroll system.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
We could code it under the police
okay.
department fund.
Okay.
Very well aware of, you know, the change order issues. And I just want to make sure, I mean, we don't even have the exterior up and running. A lot of the change orders could come once the interiors are. We've got to stay on top of those, and you know, I know you are. I'm stating the obvious here, but it's looking good so far, so thanks.
The facility's coming along fine. I mean, the trusses will probably start being on site and maybe putting up next week, I'm hoping, with the weather. So next step would be covering the roof and other things. So things are looking great on site.
Yeah, very good.
They don't take a day off, do they?
I know,
it'll take a day off.
They're over there. They're
working. Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
And last, you had a police Citizens Police Advisory Committee resignation. Lisa Turner has tendered her resignation effective March 4th. I ask the board to accept that.
All right. There's a resolution for the Citizens Police Advisory Committee resignation. I move to accept the resignation of Citizen Police Advisory Committee member Lisa Turner, effective March 4th, 2020.
Second.
Discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
All right, next was fire levy. I think we've kind of discussed that, correct?
Yep.
And do you have anything to add, Chief?
Not at this time.
Okay. All right, we do have, though, a fire resignation.
Yes, I would recommend a motion to accept the resignation of firefighter paramedic Ian Fellers, effective March 25th, 2020. Ian has been with us for a couple of years, but has decided to reduce. So.
Okay. We have a resolution to accept the resignation of firefighter paramedic Ian Fellers. I move to graciously accept the resignation of firefighter paramedic Ian Fellers, effective March 25th, 2020. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
On the agenda, there's a resignation for Andrew Kurtz. However, I have never received the...
I
believe the resignation came through Trustee Vaughn.
Came through the... it's for the committee. It was through the...
For the Citizens Fire Advisory Committee?
Yes.
Okay. You have received it then?
Yes, I think John McHale forwarded it to me.
Oh, then I would just recommend a motion to accept the resignation.
He's moving out of the township.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's a resolution for the Fire Rescue EMS Advisory Committee recommendation. I move to accept the resignation of Fire Rescue EMS Advisory Committee member Andrew Kurtz, effective March 18th, 2020. Is there a second?
Second.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. You're mixing us up there. Next is the amended appropriations.
I would request the motion for a supplemental appropriation of $10,000 to the EMS repairs and maintenance. I'm sorry, Pat?
One above that. Permanent appropriation first.
Oh, okay.
Which? Yep, permanent.
Sorry.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. I recommend a motion to amend the 2020 permanent appropriations in the Fire Rescue EMS Fund in the amount of $10,000.
There's a resolution to amend the 2020 Genoa Township Permanent Appropriations. I move to amend the 2020 Genoa Township Permanent Appropriations in the Fire and Rescue Ambulance and EMS Service Fund purchase services in the amount of $10,000. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Can you explain?
Yes. Which is now our second out medic, but it was our frontline medic while we were waiting for the new medic. 2 days prior to us receiving the new medic, it blew the turbos again. It's four set of turbos on this thing. Luckily, one turbo was covered by warranty because it was replaced about 18 months prior to that. But anyways... we spent almost $15,000 repairing this vehicle, and we never thought we were going to spend that much when we originally did the appropriations. We were looking at some repairs and of course, our preventive maintenance and such. So it kind of caught us by surprise. So now we don't have any money left over for ongoing repairs throughout the year. Hopefully, $10,000 will get us through the rest of the year.
Yeah, let's hope. Discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
All right, now the supplemental.
Yes, okay. I recommend a motion. motion to approve a supplemental appropriation from account 2192-930-930-000 in the amount of $10,500 and place it into account number 2192-220-360-0000, which is contracted services. So come out of contingencies and into contracted services.
Okay. There's a resolution to approve a supplemental appropriation. I move to retroactively approve the following supplemental appropriation from account 2192-930-930-000 for the amount of $10,500 to account number 2192-220-360-000 in the amount of $10,500. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
All right, now educational incentive.
Yes, I'd recommend a motion to approve the education incentive for firefighter paramedic Jesse Crook for his bachelor's degree in accordance to Article 15.8 of the labor agreement.
All right, we have a resolution for an educational supplement for Jesse Cook. I move to approve the education incentive in the amount of $1 per hour for firefighter paramedic Jesse Cook for a bachelor's degree per Article 15.8 educational supplement tuition reimbursement in the International Association of Firefighters, local number 4307, union agreement. Second? Do
second.
I hear a second? Discussion.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
All right, we have announcements. April 13th,
April
offices.
12th. It's a I think it's a misprint.
Is it the 12th?
Isn't it the 12th?
I don't know.
Tomorrow's the 3rd, Saturday's the 4th, Sunday's the 5th. So a week from that would be the 12th.
Okay,
sorry.
Thank you.
But the
Monday.
You're on.
Right. Monday's off. April 13th?
Okay,
April 13th, the offices will be closed for Easter Monday, and the next trustee meeting will be May 7th, 2020 at 6:30 p.m. Any other business before the board? There is no more business to come before the board. I move to adjourn this meeting at 8:03. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
The meeting is adjourned at 8:03. Thank you.